The Judiciary Committee will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Perez.
Here.
Vice Chair Byrd.
Here.
Republican Whip Gregory.
Here.
Ranking Member Driscoll.
Here.
Representatives Alexander.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Busada Cabrera.
Here.
Diamond.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Fernandez Barquin.
Here.
Fetterhoff.
Here.
Gottlieb.
Here.
Grawl.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Plakin.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Salzman.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trunau.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Lindsay. Members, remember to silence your phones. Keep your masks on as much as you can. Let's get the party started. We're going to start with Representative Clemens, HB 31, Clerks of the Court. Representative Clemens, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. HB 31, Clerk of the Courts, is an efficiency bill. Provides several provisions to streamline processes and provide statutory clarifications for the clerks of the court. This piece of legislation contains the substance of two bills from last session, one from Representative Gregory, the other one by myself. The House bills passed all committees unanimously, and Representative Gregory's bill passed unanimously on the floor. In short, this bill seeks to do two things. One, streamline the way that jury management costs are paid by the clerks at the local level, changing payments from a complicated pre-reimbursement method to a simple reimbursement method of actual cost incurred. These changes are in accounting and operational efficiency, will not impact citizens coming to the courthouse for jury duty or payments to jurors. Second, it implements a simple statute cleanup to fix a technical glitch regarding service fees that arose from legislation that passed in 2019, distinguishing the difference between what is a court-related fee and what is a county-related fee, making that simpler to understand so that clerks can remit the correct funds to the general revenue account. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there any testimony? Jason Harrell, Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers, waives in support. Tom Bexley, Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers. You are recognized, sir. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I'm Tom Bexley. I'm the clerk and comptroller in Flagler County. I'm also the association's legislative chair. Just real quick, I wanted to thank Representative Clemens again very much for working with us on this, and Representative Gregory from last year. Thank you, sir. We think it's always important to bring forward ideas in partnership with the legislature to find efficiencies and make our processes work better. That's exactly what the bill does. We're very supportive. And on behalf of Florida's 67 counties and its clerks and comptrollers, we support these changes and wish you would do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Jenna Hodgins, who waves in support, and Jason Welty, who also waves in support. Members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Clemens, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave, please.
Representative Clemens, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Busada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Driscoll.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Gottlieb.
Yes.
Grawl.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Clemens.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Next, members, we're going to go to House Bill 625, Compensation and Estate Administration, by Representative Yarbrough. Representative Yarbrough, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon to you, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee. Thank you for adding House Bill 625 to your agenda, Mr. Chairman. Members, in 2014, we had the West versus Chrisman case, and if you're not familiar with that, the case involved a $23 million estate, and there was a fee dispute between the decedent's former estate planning and probate attorney, West, and the decedent's daughter, whose name was Alita. After her father's death, Alita signed West's fee agreement, which proposed that his legal fees be, quote, calculated pursuant to the provisions of Florida Statutes, Chapter 733, but included no calculation of the fees. Applying the fee schedule contained in 733, West estimated his firm's fees would be $355,000 based on a percentage value of the estate. Alita later testified that she was shocked by that amount, but that West told her the bill was, quote, set by Florida statute and law, and that prior to his passing, her father had known about this. West later admitted he knew the fees were not mandatory, but he chose not to explain this to the decedent's daughter. So the bottom line is that good actors will convey truthful information, but we should make it harder for Floridians to be taken advantage of, as was the circumstance in the case that I've referenced. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we have a strike all that's before you today, and it's your pleasure, Mr. Chair. I can go right into that and explain it.
Before we get into the strike all, I want to see if there's any questions on the bill before the strike all, obviously knowing that there's a strike all coming. I wouldn't expect any. All right, Representative Yarbrough, let's get into Amendment 1, number 096167. You're recognized to explain.
Thank you. And basically, the takeaway from the story I just explained, Mr. Chair, and into the amendment is that we want to put in some protections that protect Floridians from being taken advantage of. And we have an amendment before you that we have worked with all stakeholders to come up with and get into the right posture. And so simply the amendment would maintain the statutory fee schedule presumed to be reasonable in estate administration and trust cases, but it would require an attorney who uses the fee schedule to make certain disclosures to the personal representative or trustee to make sure that the personal representative knows it's not mandatory, it doesn't have to be based on the size of the estate, and that the selection of the attorney is made at the discretion of the personal representative. And then lastly, if such disclosures are not made, the attorney may not be paid for legal services without prior court approval or written consent of all the parties. That's the strike call, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any testimony? H. Brown, Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. French Brown on behalf of the Real Property Probate Trust Law Section of the Bar. Just wanted to thank Chair Yarbrough for working with us on this bill. I think we have a very good product with this amendment. It really provides those protections that Representative Yarbrough explained, but it still keeps in place the important statutory framework for a judge to be able to determine if a fee is actually reasonable or not. So it provides those guardrails in setting the fees, but it also provides these mandatory disclosures down to the individuals to make sure that they know that those can further be negotiated. And we urge your support of the amendment today. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Yarbrough, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave closed, Chairman.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed? Show that amendment adopted. Members, pursuant to Rule 7.11D, the adoption of Amendment Number 096167 has changed the relating to clause. Therefore, we will show HB 625 temporarily postponed. Representative Yarbrough, I'm sure we'll be seeing you next week.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your consideration today. Thank you.
Members, just so we're all on the same page and so you are all aware, we won't be taking up HB 473 today. Without objection, show that bill temporarily postponed. Next, we will take HJR 1179, Abolishing the Constitution Revision Commission by Representative Beltran. Representative Beltran, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. HJR 1179 abolishes the CRC. I'll just note two things in regard to the CRC. CRC meets every 20 years, and they place amendments onto the ballot for everyone to vote on. They are one of the only methods of constitutional amendment that allow compounding. That is placing unrelated propositions in one amendment that the voter has to vote up or down on, and they're responsible for that compounding in 2018 that we all saw. Second thing is that the CRC is appointed by various statewide officials, and those officials are, in turn, some of them are elected, some of them are not, such as the chief judge of the Justice of the Supreme Court. Every other method, other than Tax and Budget Commission, allows direct participation either by electing legislators who propose amendments and then the populace votes on it, or through direct ballot petitions, which require signatures. So this removes the amendment process the most from the people and results in compounding, and that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there any testimony? Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Richard Templin, Florida AFL-CIO, waves in support. Barbara Devane, Florida National Organization for Women, waves in support. We are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beltran, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Gottlieb.
Yes.
Grawl.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
No.
Learned.
No.
Plakin. Roach.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder. Trunell.
Yes.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
16 yeas, 4 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Representative Beltran, we'll keep you up there, and we'll go straight to your next bill, House Bill 1181, Constitution Revision Commission. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. This bill makes statutory changes that remove reference to the CRC in contingent upon the approval of HJR 1179 by the voters in the 2020 election. That is the bill.
Members, any questions on the bill? Seeing none, any testimony? Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Richard Templin, Florida AFL-CIO, waves in support. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beltran, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Gottlieb. Grawl.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
No.
Learned.
Yes.
Plakin.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder. Trunell.
Yes.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
17 yeas, 3 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Committee.
Members, we will move right along to HB 579, Evidentiary Standards for Actions Arising During an Emergency, by Representative Mello. Representative Mello, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Perez and members of the committee, for your consideration of HB 579 today. The bill protects independent contractors and ensures their employers aren't penalized for taking action and giving out training, PPE, or other materials during a state or declared emergency. This bill would give employers the peace of mind knowing that their good faith actions to help independent contractors could not be used against them in a court of law to determine the classification of their workers. Under current law, even if companies wish to provide safety materials, they might hold back for fear of potentially losing their business. This provides a direct negative incentive that leaves workers worse off. We've seen examples of companies who have been forced to charge their independent contractors for safety equipment during the COVID-19 pandemic, not necessarily because they want to, but because they have very real concerns over the potential negative legal consequences of those actions. The intent of this bill is to provide clear guidance so that both employers and independent contractors are protected. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we are in testimony. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity. is a proponent of the bill. We're in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Mello, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Chair.
Representative Mello, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Driscoll.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Gottlieb. Grawl.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
Plakin. Roach.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder. Trunau.
Yes.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
19 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Mello. We will move to CS for HB 689, Domestic Violence Centers, by Representative Barrero. Representative Barrero, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to present this bill, HB 689, Domestic Violence Centers. Most of us are familiar with the critical services that domestic violence centers provide to victims and survivors of domestic violence. The survivors come back to these domestic violence centers for a place of refuge, to seek shelter. They have confidentiality where they can explain their situation and receive support centers. The problem is many domestic violence centers are reporting that there are perpetrators who are retaliating against not only the victims, but also the staff, and they're threatening them. In one particular instance, the perpetrator was gang affiliated. He came back to the domestic violence center. He stood outside of the center with his gang affiliates, and just for the purposes of intimidation. And current law does not prevent the releasing of this information under the criminal law. So what this statute attempts to do is it creates a misdemeanor and a felony on the second offense and subsequent offense for a perpetrator to retaliate, to come back, and to attempt to publish the location information for these domestic violence centers. There's been other instances where domestic violence centers have reported that there were drones flying over the domestic violence centers, taking footage and releasing the information online. There was one perpetrator who came back and he Facebook lived the location and was disclosing the license plates and of both the victims and the staff who were there. Florida law attempts to shield this information and it provides for a public records exemption, but it doesn't make it a misdemeanor for someone to come back and maliciously publish that information. So this bill does just that. It makes it a misdemeanor for someone to maliciously publish the location information of the domestic violence center and a felony on the second offense, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Fetterhoff.
I support your bill, but I just have a question because it came to my attention that you can basically Google search any of these facilities. You can find the information online. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the fact that this information is out there. Mm-hmm. And if somebody published, I'm just trying to find where the fine line is where I understand someone maliciously doing this versus mm-hmm. putting the information out there and then people can use the information.
Yeah, that's a great
Representative
question.
Representative Barrero.
Thank you for recognizing me, Chair. So, Representative, that's a great question. So if you Googled the location of a domestic violence center, online it wouldn't disclose the location, or at least it shouldn't disclose the location. I actually Googled myself some of the locations, and I didn't see the address on there. So Google, at least in some part, has been doing its job and not disclosing the location information. You're supposed to be able to go there in confidentiality, and then once they find out that you are a victim and that you need their services, they'll go ahead and tell you to come in and go through the process, the intake process. But they're not supposed to disclose your information. Florida law shields the address and the location information on purpose for that purpose. It's for confidentiality purposes. So if they're disclosing it, it's outside of the law. But it makes it even harder for someone to disclose that information by giving law enforcement the tools to come back against somebody who is retaliating, is coming back, trying to publish that information online. They have the domestic violence centers come back to us and specifically requested this and said this would help them to come back after the bad actors and trying to publicize that information.
Members in questions, any questions? Seeing none, is there any testimony? Seeing none, members were in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Barrero, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Barrero, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin? Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative
Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair.
Next, we'll move to CS for HB 867, Community Associations by Representative Schoaf. Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 867 will move Florida's community associations into the 21st century by clarifying how community association boards can operate in a pandemic, streamlining community documents, increasing transparency, and reducing cost on Florida homeowners. It allows Floridians that have invested in a rental home to protect their investment if a board decides after the fact to not allow long-term rentals, and that is the bill.
Okay, members, there is an amendment. Are there any questions before we take to the amendment? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, Amendment 1, number 741847 by Representative Schoaf. Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment simply clarifies the intent of the long-term rental language to say that should more than one person or entity have a shared interest in a property and several of those sell their interest, but at least one remain, that grandfather protection covers them as well. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any testimony? Seeing none, members, we're on debate. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed? Show that amendment adopted. We are back on the bill. Any testimony? Mark Anderson, CEO of Management Companies. Thank you. Joshua Burkett, CEO of Management Companies. We got a couple CEOs here, huh? All right. Travis Moore, Community Associations Institute. Carrie Hebrink, Florida Home Builders Association. Marco Paredes, On Top of the World Communities, LLC. Eric Prutzman, Florida Fire Chiefs Association, waves in opposition. Nancy Stewart, Florida Resident-Owned Communities, waves in support. B.G. Murphy, Florida Association of Insurance Agents, waves in support. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Yes, sir. Mr. French. All right, let's make sure we get that over to the Sarge so we can document that properly. Okay, members, debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Representative Schoaf, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin? Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
19 yeas, 1 nay, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Schoaf.
Thank you.
Next, we will hear CS for HB 363, Privileged Communications Made to Crime Stoppers Organization by Representative Chambliss. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, CS HB 363, this creates the crime of knowingly and willfully obtaining or attempting to obtain protected information or a privileged communication provided to a Crime Stoppers organization. The person who does knowingly and willfully obtain this information commits a third-degree felony. It requires that a person who illegally discloses a privileged Crime Stoppers tip must do so knowingly and willingly to be found guilty of an offense. It also extends criminal immunity from an offense to a Crime Stoppers employee, board member, or volunteer acting in the course and scope of his or her duties or functions. This also protects a Crime Stopper employee, board member, or volunteer from civil liability for damages caused by his or her act or omission in the course of his or her duties, unless his or her act or omission is intentional or grossly negligent. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there any testimony? David Sirdar, statesman for environmental change, is not here, but big proponent of the bill. Oh, there he is. All right, sir. You're recognized.
David Sirdar, Fruitland Park, Florida, Lake County. You know, I sleep in my car. I'm all over the state. I get shot at, and I do talk to officers. I got a pen that says Crime Stoppers, but I talk to sheriffs. And, you know, I was here because I'm not too smart. My phone talked. You know, I apologize, but domestic violence. I'm a victim. There's more than just women. And I go into live streams of facilities and help people out. You know, they're called happy jails in best jails in Orlando. I'm part of an association, Area 14, District 7 A and B. Well, they're all over the state. We're all over the world. And, you know, Crime Stoppers, I believe in it because they're in my neighborhoods. There's people on drinking and drugging like crazy all over the place because every neighborhood is different. Just like I was in a meeting earlier today, not everybody's neighborhood is a gated locked facility.
All right, sir, let's keep it to the bill.
But I thank you so much. I believe in it.
All right.
You know what you're doing. You know, I ran for office. You know, I get shot at. I get pushed off the road.
Thank you for your support of the
bill. Our society's out of hand. We need some respect laws.
Thank you. Members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Chambliss, for this very good bill and for thinking through this important policy concern. You know, we certainly want to make sure that we are striking the right balance and making it making sure that we're helping facilitate law enforcement's ability to do its job and helping the community feel safe in coming forward with information. And I know you've worked this bill very hard, and it's very impressive to see a freshman working that hard. So thank you for all that you're doing. I look forward to being up on your bill today.
Representative Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you for bringing this bill forward, Representative. I serve on the Crime Stopper Board in my community, and we pride ourselves in the ability to keep that information sacred. I mean, else the actual process wouldn't work if people didn't trust in it. So the tip money is always good, but nobody wants to put their life online. So I appreciate the bill. Thank you.
Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Chambliss, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I wave closer.
Representative Chambliss, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Busada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin? Yes. Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you.
Next, we will take HB 7023, Veterans Treatment Court Programs, by Representative Byrd. Representative Byrd, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Problem-solving courts are specialized courts that address the underlying causes of crime to reduce recidivism and promote rehabilitation. One type of problem-solving court is a veterans court. Unfortunately, under the current law, veterans courts in different circuits may have different rules and procedures. The bill provides uniform procedures for veteran treatments courts programs, and I'm going to refer to those as VTCs for short. More specifically, the bill encourages the creation and support of VTCs and allows the chief judge to adopt operating policies and procedures, specifies that a VTC may adjudicate felonies and misdemeanors at any stage of the criminal process, specifies admission requirements for a VTC, and authorizes the state attorney, in consultation with the court, to review applications to determine eligibility. It does not change eligibility requirements from current law, other than to give the chief judge and state attorney discretion to admit or reject a veteran who is dishonorably discharged. Current law allows admission to veterans who have been dishonorably discharged. The bill specifically includes eligibility members of the Space Force, allows VTCs currently in operation to continue to operate if they meet the criteria in the bill, and allows a defendant currently participating in a VTC to continue in a VTC program. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions on the bill before we take up the amendment? Okay, seeing none, let's get into the amendment. Amendment 1. Number 438965, Representative Byrd, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. The amendment makes three changes to the bill as follows. It allows a veteran or service member who is charged with a misdemeanor criminal traffic offense to participate in a misdemeanor pretrial veterans treatment intervention program, expands eligibility for VTC programs to include defendants who have suffered from military sexual trauma. It also provides the federal definition of military sexual trauma and creates eligibility for a veteran or service member who's experienced military sexual trauma to participate in a VTC as a condition of probation or community control. That is the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions on the amendment, members? Seeing none, is there testimony? Seeing none, members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Byrd, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
We've closed, Mr. Chairman.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed? Show that amendment adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any testimony on the bill? Seeing none, members were in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Byrd, you are recognized to close on your bill.
We've closed, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Byrd, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brennan.
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera. Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin? Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Next, we'll move to CS for HB 649, petition for objection to assessment by Representative Fernandez-Barkin. Representative Fernandez-Barkin, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, currently condo associations are allowed to appeal tax assessments of all the condo owners to the Value Adjustment Board. At the Value Adjustment Board will then make a determination on whether or not the tax assessment is accurate or not. And then if the property appraiser can then appeal that decision to the Circuit Court. Now, the issue is that in appealing to the Value Adjustment Board, the condo association can represent all or most of the condo unit owners or whichever owners actually want to opt into this class. But if the property appraiser sues the association and the unit owners at the circuit court level, the condo association no longer can represent the unit owners. What my bill does is simply just allows the association to represent the condo owners, whoever wants to opt into this class at the circuit court level. And I ask for your support.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there any testimony? French Brown, Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar, waves in support. Thank you. Now we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Fernandez-Barkin, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fernandez-Barkin, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Brennan?
Yes.
Boussada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd? Diamond? Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
19 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Next, we will have HB 371, False Reports of Crimes by Representative Brannon. Representative Brannon, you are recognized to explain your bill before we get to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow members. This was a matter that was brought to my attention by the Florida Police Chiefs Association as it mainly relates to a problem called swatting. I'll give you the definition of that in just a moment. But Florida law currently prohibits a person from willfully imparting, conveying to be imparted, or conveyed to any law enforcement officer false information or reports concerning the commission of any crime when the person knows the report is false and that no such crime has been committed. That currently is a misdemeanor. HB 371 will amend the current statute to criminalize a false report that is made to law enforcement and defines public safety agency. It also will implement more severe penalties depending on the severity of the impact of the false report, if any, on a victim, other citizen, and law enforcement. The practice this law mainly seeks to curtail is a relatively new phenomenon called swatting. And swatting has been made popular by YouTubers and gamers. Swatting is a malicious gag where someone calls the police and reports a serious situation like a hostage taking or murder. Local officials will then rush to the scene, but typically only find a completely innocent citizen caught wildly off guard. It's no joke, though, as swatting creates danger to the public and law enforcement, as well as diverting valuable resources from protecting the public. It can manifest its ways in a couple of ways, itself in a couple of ways. A person can use 911, and law enforcement response as a mechanism of revenge. They call 911, make an egregious false report that will prompt a substantial law enforcement presence, and also causing other first responders, such as fire and rescue, to be there, and maybe sometimes a SWAT team, and thus the name swatting. A person can claim that they are a victim of a crime or are witnessing a dangerous situation, usually involving firearms or imminent threat of violence. And, of course, an innocent party may be detained or injured prior to the truth of the matter being resolved. These scenarios have been playing out all over the country, and in all instances, valuable public resources are drained, and there's potential for citizens and officers to be injured or killed. Your staff analysis has a couple of examples, one in California where someone was killed and one here in our state where false reports were made prompting a law enforcement response that resulted in an innocent homeowner being alarmed, of course, when the police showed up about a false murder claim at their home. It also caused, in that instance, a school to be locked down. HB 371 amends the current statute to provide enhanced penalties in three ways. If the public safety agency's response from a false report of a crime results in substantial cost to the responding agencies over $1,000, it would become a third-degree felony. Recall, any false report right now is just a misdemeanor. If great bodily harm, permanent disfigurement, or permanent disability occur as a proximate result of lawful conduct arising out of a response, that would be a second-degree felony. And if death occurs as a proximate result of lawful conduct arising out of a response, that would be a first-degree felony. And, yes, there is an amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, before we get to the amendment, any questions on the bill, members? Seeing none, let's get into the amendment. Amendment 1, number 184063. Representative Brannon, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After consulting with public defenders, state attorneys, and law enforcement, we're going to increase the dollar threshold of the cost to the responding agencies required to reach the third-degree felony level from $1,000 to $2,000. It also specifies in the amendment it is a crime to make a false report to any public safety agency employee in addition to a law enforcement officer, which will expand the definition of into public safety employees to, of course, specifically include 911 dispatchers. If you think about it, when you call in, you're probably not going to talk actually to a law enforcement officer. You're going to talk to a dispatcher, so we want to make that clear. It also clarifies that the enhanced penalties apply if the response results in great bodily harm,
permanent disfigurement, permanent disability, or death of any person, including members of the responding agencies and the public, and requires a court to order a person convicted of willfully reporting a false crime to pay full restitution for the cost of the emergency response, and that's the amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate on the amendment. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Brand, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed? Show that amendment adopted. Back on the bill. Testimony on the bill. Mr. David Serdar. You're recognized, sir.
David Serdar, Lake County, Florida. I don't know if you know, I work with every, well, I'm honored to talk to every police chief in the counties I go to, because I public comment in 15 counties and maybe 15 cities, Ocala, Orlando included. You know, I reached out to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court on St. Patty's Day. I do that kind of stuff. You know, our country's in trouble. And I want you to know, I got officers giving me domestic violence. You're talking about, I got officers all over the place doing what they want.
Domestic violence.
I was hit. I called an officer. What'd he do? And he's supposed to be in charge of all the schools, all the officers in the schools in Lake County. Hey, I know Sheriff Payton Grudel. I got him on my phone. He said, pretty impressive what you've done, David. We've investigated you. You know, I could be locked up, and I have been. I'd be in jail for 6 months.
All right, Mr. Serdar.
You know, and I have people giving me tickets for no reason at all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I believe, because I know judges. I grew up with judges. And, our country is messed up right now.
Thank you.
And I'm a citizen that doesn't know how to do all the punching. Our veterans, my father was a veteran. I help veterans out that are out there. I thought I was signed up for that.
All right, Mr.
I apologize. You. Not everybody's so smart with the computers.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's why you don't see how
Jennifer
many
Pritt,
you see here.
Florida Police Chiefs Association waves in support. Members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Brandon, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Now wave close.
Representative Brandon, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brandon.
Yes.
Busada Cabrera.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Driscoll.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Gottlieb.
Yes.
Grawl.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
Plakin.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Brandon. Next, we will have HB 903, Clerks of the Circuit Court, by Representative Barnaby, but presented by Representative Busada Cabrera from her chair. Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to explain the bill before we get into the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. As many of you know, the Florida's clerks of court provide many critical services in our communities that support public safety in our judicial system. As we know, they have had serious budget challenges for many years, and due to how they are funded through fines, fees, and court costs, they were heavily impacted by the pandemic. The bill addresses a major concern for the clerk's office by authorizing the clerks of court to establish and maintain statewide reserves held in the clerks of the court trust fund.
Okay, let's get into the amendment, but before we do so, are there any questions on the bill? Members, any questions on the bill? Seeing none, let's get into Amendment 1. Number 771525, Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this amendment says that those reserves are limited and capped at 16% of their total budget authority. This will help clerks better manage emergencies or the dramatic swings in revenues they have experienced. It codifies and makes permanent the clerk's carry forward authority, which was established in 2019 by HB 337, and uses this existing process to fund the reserves. It clarifies that the clerk can use appropriations for the purpose of court-related functions in their budget process. Finally, the bill provides enhanced collections processes and best practices by promoting payment plans to help more individuals make payments timely and reduce driver license suspensions.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any test? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know this is not your bill, Representative, but maybe if the you could try to help me. I'm just looking at the amendment, and it looks like does the amendment take out the section of the bill about the clerk submitting legislative budget requests to the legislature?
Representative Diamond, I think what we'll do is we'll see if some of the proponents that are here today can answer that.
That's a better idea.
And if they can't, we'll go back to Representative Busada Cabrera, but let's try and give them the first bite of the apple because it'll probably get us a little
bit. I think that's great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions? Any questions on the amendment? Okay, let's get into testimony. Jason Welty is waving in support on the amendment. That is all we have. Let me see that. And I know on the bill we have others testifying, but let's bring them on the amendment just in case, so Representative Diamond and others can ask their questions. We'll start with Jason Harrell. Mr. Harrell, if you don't mind coming to the podium so that the representatives and other members can ask you any questions they may have. You are recognized, sir. And we'll start with Representative Diamond on any questions regarding the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your advocacy for the clerks. I appreciate it. I was up on this good bill. I just wanted to understand the amendment seems to take out this language in the bill about the clerk, the CCOC, submitting legislative budget requests to the legislature. Could you talk about that change, please?
You're recognized.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the question, Representative Diamond. As we were working on this issue, we've been kind of workshopping this, and it was determined that those new authorities that we were trying to give to the Clerk of Court Operations Corporation, many of them they already had implied within their existing authority in statute. While not specific to the LBR, we did feel like they already had the ability to submit cost requests to the legislature, so we removed those sections to simplify the bill.
Any questions, members, on the amendment? Thank you, Mr. Harrell. We are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. While this amendment is a strike-all amendment, it aligns the bill to the Senate language and makes several non-substantive technical corrections to statute references and language clarifications. Of substance, it removes the provisions in Section 2 of the bill that provided new duties to the Clerk of Courts Operations Cooperation, such as the ability to submit loan requests, LBR submissions, and deficit certifications, and that is the amendment.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed. Show that amendment adopted. We are back on the bill. Testimony on the bill, Jason Harrell, Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers. Waves in support. Laura Roth, Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers. You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and all members of the committee for hearing this very good bill today. And Representative Diamond asked him his question. I think Jason Harrell explained that. I just wanted to add to it to thank Representative Barnaby. I know that he couldn't be here today to present it, but he did hear our concerns about the threat to the stability of our funding situation that threatens our services that are very important to the community. And in his dedication to the citizens of Volusia County and clerks, I just really want to thank him for his enthusiastic support of us. And I ask you all to support this bill. It does simple things that will make a big difference. And it's a great first start to help the clerks of court with this unsustainable situation that we have. So we very much appreciate your support.
Thank you. Representative Diamond with a question.
Thank you for the testimony and support of the bill. I appreciate it. I was wondering if the clerks have taken a look, and this follows up on a question that I think Representative Gregory asked in an earlier committee, have taken a look at this other bill, 557, that has to do with unpaid criminal court debt and sort of how that works with this bill, House Bill 903. I don't know if you can address that, or if Jason could address that, but I did have that question.
Well, I did think there are...
You're recognized, but I think we... Let's try and keep it on this bill. That's a completely separate bill, and if she knows the answer, that's great, but...
Well, I could at least offer this. This bill does also include provisions, I believe, that increase some of our options for making it easier for the public to pay fines and fees. So this does enhance those services we can provide. So I think that they do relate to an extent that we're asking for increased ability to be able to collect payments, which is part of our duties.
Thank you.
So it'll improve the situation that the other bill is addressing.
Any other questions for the presenter? Thank you.
Thank you all.
Jenna Hodgins, clerk of the Circuit Court, Hillsborough County, waves in support. And Christian Miner, Florida Juvenile Justice Association, waves in support. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Learned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Rep. Diamond, for your points as well. I just want to, in keeping it to this bill as much as possible here, I want to commend the committee for comprehensively looking at how we better fund our clerk system, but also the flexibility that's allowing us as we look at our overall fines and fees structure across the state. I think great bills like this are allowing us to be smart about criminal justice reform into the future, and I just want to thank the committee and the presenter for this great bill.
Representative Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rep. Learned took the words right out of my mouth, but I really appreciate the work of our clerk of courts, and, you know, we've had a real challenge with COVID-19 members. At the clerk's funding, which is primarily through traffic citation collections being way down, this bill is going to help them in an important way by establishing reserves, allowing them to establish reserves so that they can budget and get through good times and bad. Mr. Chairman, I just asked about this other bill, HB 557, by Representative LaMarca, because I think that's a really good bill, too, and there's language in this 903 that's kind of inconsistent with Rep. LaMarca's idea. I mentioned this to Rep. Barnaby. I actually like Rep. LaMarca's section better because he's got the bill, if you recall, that says that we should eliminate suspending people's driver's license if they can't pay their debt. And what I've learned in talking to him about his bill is that if people can't get to their job, then they can't pay their debts, you know? So it's actually going to work to the clerk's benefit, I think, in terms of getting unpaid fees paid if we do both of these ideas. So I'm encouraging them to talk with each other about how those ideas could come together, but I'm up on this bill and look forward to hopefully seeing it get passed under your leadership. Thank you.
Any other members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Diamond, for your feedback. I know we happened to speak this morning about the driver's license suspension portion of it, and this bill does establish a payment plan, which should help alleviate that and hopefully addresses some of your concerns. This bill is an important first step to a better budget outlook for our clerks of court, ensuring that their services are available to everyone. We'd appreciate your favorable support.
Representative Busada Cabrera, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander? Yes. Brennan?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Plakin? Yes. Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Last but not least, we have PCS for CS for HB 279, Enhanced Penalties for Criminal Offenses, by Representative Snyder. Representative Snyder, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, and Ranking Member Driscoll. I am here today, and also fellow committee members, great to see you all as well, here today to revisit the PCS for Committee Substitute 279 that we talked about last week. Just as a recap, what this bill does is allow for the re-ranking by one level, an increase of one level on the criminal offense ranking charts under two different scenarios. Number one, burglary on first responder property. So if that happens on police or a firehouse property, again, not their residence, but the actual fire station, that is eligible for the increase. And then also in the instances of burglary and grand theft, when a person leaves their county of residence to commit that crime. That is a bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Snyder. Are there any questions on the bill before we take up the amendment? Representative Hart.
On the actual bill, I just want to make sure that I don't quite understand this. Does this bill increase a penalty for a burglary to a life sentence?
Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and great question, Representative Hart. I'm assuming you're referring to the, as it currently reads, the first degree felony for that burglary on first responder property. That is going to be addressed in the amendment, and so that is not going to stand as is.
Okay, anyone else with questions on the bill before we get into the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Snyder, you are recognized to explain Amendment 1A1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment removes the reclassification for the burglary offense at a first degree and keeps it at the current second degree felony level, but does allow, again, on the offense ranking chart for that offense to be increased by one level. Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the amendment, members? Representative Roach.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, sir, for bringing this good bill. Just one quick question. When you say it allows for it to be enhanced, is that at the state attorney discretion?
Representative
Snyder. Who makes that decision?
So that, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Roach. So that decision would be made with the investigators taking the facts of the particular case to the state attorney. And so law enforcement could initially charge if they feel that they are able to prove that enhancement, or the state attorney could discover that and then bring that later after the arrest.
Any other questions, members? Representative Hart.
Can you please clarify that for me so I can better understand in layman's terms? Are you telling me then that is not a life sentence? I mean, because it doesn't say anything about the question I asked you, and you said it'd be cleared up in the amendment. Can you elaborate a little bit for me so I better understand that?
Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So currently in statute, Representative Hart, and I appreciate the question, if a burglary is committed on, and I'm assuming we're talking about the piece pertaining to the burglary on first responder property. So maybe I can start rewinding a little bit with the why we're bringing this forward. Something that's happened with an increased frequency in Palm Beach County is that individuals are targeting at firehouses, burglarizing those vehicles because they typically, firefighters have a weapon or electronics in their vehicle. That currently is a second degree felony. Originally, as the bill was written, that was going to increase it to a first degree felony, which could, you know, potentially fall into that threshold of a life sentence. That was not the intent of what we wanted to do, obviously. So it's staying at a second degree felony, but instead of it being ranked at the current level, it would increase by one, which falls into the points in the sentencing when they look at that.
Any other questions, members? Seeing none, we're in testimony. Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Snyder, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
All members in favor of the amendment, please say yay.
Yay.
All members opposed? Show that amendment adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any testimony on the bill? Pamela Birch Fort, Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches, waves in opposition. And Kara Gross, American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, waves in opposition. We're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Snyder, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say, first of all, thank you to staff for all their help and assistance. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart as we look to curb the rising spike in burglaries. And again, that clear nexus between individuals who leave their own communities, travel throughout the state, and look to become anonymous criminals preying on vulnerable communities throughout the state. Secondly, this sends a loud message to our firefighters and law enforcement officers that when they're answering the call and they're moving towards danger on our behalf, that we will have their back and make sure that that their personal properties and belongings are not subject to criminal activity. With that, I close and hope to have your favorable support.
Representative Snyder, having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
No.
Brannon?
Yes.
Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Learned?
Yes.
Flaken?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
18 yeas, 3 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Snyder. Members, if there is no further business, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Representative Snyder moves we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.